I'm just going to ask, we have a special guest speaker this morning. I'm going to ask if Gary Graham could come on up. Where are you, Gary? There you are. Gary is, he's on our board. He's also the head of our missions team. And he just recently got back with a team from working at YWAM in Kona. And he's going to tell you a little bit about that this morning, share a little bit about his heart. So Gary, can I just pray with you before you get going? Father God, I thank you for Gary. Lord, I thank you for his heart and his heart for missions. And Lord, I just pray this morning, God, that your spirit would just fill him and anoint him, God. And I just pray that we would have ears to hear what your spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. Well, morning, everyone. I better watch my time, okay? You guys throw tomatoes at me if I go too long. We did want to share a little bit about our highlights of the trip that we were just on. It's good to be back. Although with the weather turning, we should have missed our flight maybe and stayed there a bit longer. But we're back, and it was a wonderful trip, and I'm going to have the team come out in a little bit and just share. And we have some slides we're going to show you, and then I'll finish with a bit of a challenge to us as well. But thank you certainly for all your prayers and for the offering that you took. Pastor said you didn't hear the total the last Sunday there, and he sent it over to us. $1,349 that you guys sent to us. So praise God. I want to say, too, that was not for the team, all right? Let's be sure about that, because when people hear about Hawaii, they go, oh, yeah, Hawaii. But, you know, everyone on the team paid their own way to go there. They paid all their housing, their room and board. None of the church money went to any of the individuals. In fact, a lot of times we'd be short on supplies. Oh, we need these parts. We need those parts. Some of them had these little mopeds they rented, and zip, they'd go up to the hardware store, pay it all on their own. So it was a real self-sacrificing time there, except for, of course, the nice weather. But right, so I did want to, maybe I'll ask the team too, if they want to come up. Harry and Barb, we're going to come, I think, and Roy and Carolyn and Troy, and who else is coming up? I think Pete's going to come, and Bob, if they're all here, we got some chairs for you. You guys can come up, and we're going to share a few slides while they make their way up. I wanted to give you a little update too on exactly what the boats do. As you've heard, they go out into these islands. One of the boats over the year was in Papua New Guinea, working in the Madang province, it's called. And we just got an update from the directors there over 2016, some of the stats, which is so exciting. A lot of the students that they train in Kona on the base we were at, and they go out to these boats. Have a seat wherever. Are we sure? No, I think we're good. So here's some of the stats, just to let you know. Over the last year, the boat, the Pacific Link, working in and around Papua New Guinea, just over 2016, just one boat. There's a number of them. Another one called the Cloud 9 is right in the Marshall Islands, the Marshallese that we were working with in Kona. This one, the Pacific Link, it's called, was around Papua New Guinea. 48,000 medical and training services, distributed 4,600 Bibles, and saw 3,100 people become followers of Jesus. That's just in one year. Amen. So, amen. So that's you guys really helping with that, okay, to be able to get the students trained in Kona and go out to those islands and do that. So I see there's a couple others that didn't want to come up of the team. I better mention John Lee was with us as well, and Sergio. But they're a little bit shyer, so that's okay. I won't embarrass them. Like I'll embarrass you. No, I won't embarrass you guys. So what we want to do is just go over some slides and quickly go over these, give you a little bit of an idea of what we are doing, and then each of the team has a little highlight that they'd like to share. So here's the professional missionaries heading out. They're just taking a flight. There's John, and Tom came. He was my best man at my wedding. He used to come here to Bethel for a long time, and Pete. So we'll go through these fairly quickly. There's the base. It looks quite nice. I guess I can see it up there. That's the base with all of us. So one of the first days we were there, give you an idea what the base there looks like a little bit. YWAM ships, okay. Okay, there's Roy working away. He was, I said he was our plumber. He says, I'm not a plumber. Oh, yeah, you are now. But we were working on the boat there. And there's, there's Harry praying down on his knees there. No, I think he was cleaning out a wall, getting it ready for shower and toilet sinks. We did a whole room for these students there. Sergio, hard at it. He was like me, one of the guys who would just do whatever was needed. I'll go get this, I'll get that, I'll help do whatever. So appreciate all these guys. There's Barb. She was another gopher for Jesus. She was like, or for Harry. She was helping bring it. It was up in the third floor, and there's no elevators, right? So you're up and down about 100 million times, bringing everything up there. There's Sergio and Roy again, all our supplies. Hey, here's a picture of Bob working away. We had to clean out that whole room. It was an old decaying storage room, and we switched it out. So Bob and Harry worked on that room. And there's Carolyn working away, painting the whole place. It looked beautiful after that. This was a Habitat for Humanity, if you know those places around the world. It's just like God, right? When we come for the week to get supplies to build this house and everything, or the room at the base, we go to Habitat. Oh, by the way, we have 50% off this week on all of our stuff. So we got, and it was already discounted, so a lot of supplies we got were for about 12% of the cost. So it was wonderful. There's Pete grabbing some stuff. Oh, there's Tom and Jesse. Jesse's Troy's nephew, and they, Troy and Jesse and Tom did all this pipe work. You can see this is all sewage drains. You'll hear a little bit more about that later. Let's suffice to say, Troy got a second baptism on the sewage pipes. Yeah. So God bless them. Anybody wants to come on a holiday with us next time? There's some pipes for you there. Okay. There he is working hard. This is one of the boats, like they go out on one of the smaller ones, but this was donated, and we got to have a look at it. A few people went out on the boat that day. They did a little shakedown cruise out in the harbor. But these students, you know, they go out in these little 56-foot boats, and they go out to those remote islands, so pray for them as well. This was a beautiful, they have worship times. The Kona has the University of the Nations, about 1,500 students that take training in medical work, in evangelism, in filmmaking, you name it. You can take it at the university. And so they have these wonderful worship times, just 1,500 young people sold out to Jesus and ready to go, like a shot out of a cannon is what they're like. So it was great times. There's a good shot of some of the pipes. That's a finished one. We changed out the cast iron and switched out to the PVC. Yeah, that's kind of what comes out of those pipes. So we thought we'd show you that one. We had a little worship time, tough worship area right there on the patio. It's where the Ironman Hawaii actually heads out in that little bay right there. That's important to do worship and some prayer before we started each morning. We had a half day off Saturday and Sunday for church, but that's about the only times we had off. So those were well-liked, those worship times. There's Sergio. He had to put an aqua membrane in. The two buildings came together. They built this hotel in sections. And where they put this piece together was just leaking down into the classroom. So all these little jobs they have for us. So Sergio put that aqua membrane in. Yeah, there's a man up on the ladder. And hey, look at that guy with a drill or grinder. Looks like he's working there. They did all the back of that, all those pipes. The base said that probably in a week and a half, we're losing our mic. $10,000 to $15,000 worth of labor we did for them in that week and a half that they would have to pay for. Oh, here's Jerry and Troy worshiping together, just impromptu worship different evenings at the base there. He's a Hawaiian guy that's on staff there and wonderful worship leader. Both those guys have the spirit of David. There's Pete working away on the boat, actually. He had to hook up some navigation stuff, Pete, I think you were working on. So he was invaluable for them, not just on the base, but on the boat. Oh, there's a nice picture, Roy and Carolyn. We ate there at the university. They can seat 1,500 people, and it looks out over the ocean. Beautiful, beautiful place to have our dinners. Some more worship time. They do evening worship on Thursday nights and the morning ones as well. This is a cool story. This fellow here on the right, Silas, he was at that worship time, and these are the students, some of them that study at the base where we were. So they were talking about financial dependency on God during the meeting. And his buddy gets up kind of boldly and says to the speaker, you know, my buddy Silas here, he's depending on God because he needs $3,000 more for his DTS fees to finish to be able to go out to the islands. You pay a bit for your lecture phase, but then you have to pay a bit more to go on their outreach. So he needs $3,000. And the speaker said, okay. And this is just poor missionary students, right, in this meeting, basically. And about half an hour later, there's a little slip of paper comes up to the speaker. Okay, Silas got his $3,000. So he comes back, and he's just sharing with all these. I mean, their faith went like this, right? God can hear me, you know. So it was wonderful. It was a great time. And there's one of the, that's a bit of the finished room. Like I say, we put everything in there, tiled it. There's Carolyn. Finishing sealing all the grout. Next one, yeah. There's Stretch Roy being able to put the fan in without even. I think Pete wired it and Roy put it in, so it was a good effort. But they're going to put two or three students in that one room, and then they're going to continue to be able to go out to the islands after their training. Pete working on the boat again with the engines. Oh, and there he is sharing. He got to actually teach some of the students in the SUNS class, School of Navigation and Seamanship. So he was teaching some electrical principles for the students. And there's your Marshallese guys. There's about, we got up there a couple times, different Wednesdays when they do their meetings, their dinners. There's probably 200 or 300 of these young people out there. So here is a few of them that we were talking with. And the one guy, he was great. I said, what do you do for sports? Basketball. I played ice hockey one time. He was so excited to be able to say that. I know Sidney Crosby. So so they were a bunch of great guys. But pray for them. And, this is the last one. This is Pastor Artie here on the left receiving our money from the church. There we all are giving that. And Pastor Artie said the offering that Bethel gave was going to feed all those guys for over 3 months for every Wednesday. So God bless you guys. And in fact, he gave us a little certificate of appreciation to Bethel Church. So I'll put that on the mission board. But Pastor Artie, he's been doing that 18 years now. So God bless him for that. And God bless you guys for looking after all those guys. So we're going to just ask you all, get out of your way. In fact, I might hold the mic just so we don't go on too long. I just asked everybody to say, what was your highlight of the trip? And that'll give you guys a little taste of what it was like there. What was your highlight, Bob?
Okay, my highlight was, there was lots, but I'm going to keep it down to a minute. I went to actually check out the Marshallese people. And so, like what Gary was saying, we were able to have two dinners with the children up there, and they were amazing. You know what? Children are children. Whether they're children here or children there, they are still children, and they have simple faith. It just blessed my heart. The first night that we were there, we jumped off the plane, unpacked, and up. And there was about 150 children there that evening, and they were just incredible. But then they were wild. And then we went to the next one the following week. And there were some young ladies there, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And one of them pulls out this little ukulele. And she was just giving it. And they were singing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." And they believed what they were singing. Like, they were just giving it. And that just really was an awesome highlight for me. Because when I come back, especially being a grandparent and having children of my own, and I know that wherever I go, there's people that have children. That is our hope and our future. God has given us children. And if he tarries, you know, our children will carry on what we have planted in their lives. And so, you know, praise the Lord, we were able to plant God's word into their hearts, and the churches there have been planting seeds of hope and a future into their lives for like 18 years at least that we know of. And so I know that God has got an awesome future for them. Even though they haven't been able to return to their home islands, they still have a hope in the future. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Amen. Yeah. All right, Roy, you got a highlight?
Most certainly. Although initially it's going to sound quite corny, but in any case, for me, the biggest highlight was the love of Christ. And the reason I say that, it's not something that I believe I would have arrived at by myself, but at pretty close to the end of our stay there, more than one of the individuals that we're hosting made the observation to us that it was very, very clear to them that we demonstrated a unity, and not just a unity of purpose, but a unity with one another in how we acted and behaved with one another, as well as the individuals on the base. That for me, and why it really stuck out in my mind, was that, yeah, I guess it's noble to come and do a good thing, and you know, physically we were actually improving the facility and blah blah blah, but on a spiritual level, we were actually, I think, in God's plan. Anyways, it's obvious to me that He was working through us. Part of His intention, I think, was to help strengthen the individuals in the base on a spiritual level, and I believe that happened. And I'm just so happy and excited that I was able to participate. And as I said to the individuals that offered that at one point, the fact that they offered it the way they did for me was extremely encouraging, because now it's kind of like, yeah, that light that they say that we carry, we do in fact carry that light in. Thanks. That's
good, Roy. Thanks. Everybody gets a different kind of perspective, right? It's great. Carolyn, Roy's better half.
I kind of share the same perspective that Roy has of the trip. It was a great experience, and everyone, kids, the workers there, everyone said thank you for us coming and helping out. And it's nice to be able to support those people. Like, we're there for a week, but they're there for months at a time. And it's just nice to be able to bless them, and we get the blessings in return. I also was really impressed by all the ways that you can serve. You can, you know, cook meals for these kids. You can do construction, and there's just so many possibilities, and we definitely would like to go back in some capacity with YWAM and do another trip.
Amen. See, it's happening. I checked with Pastor Dave. He said, yeah, that's okay. They can go to YWAM. Just remember PAOC as well, right? Okay, Harry and Barb.
First of all, I have to thank Gary for allowing us to go on this trip with him. And it was an awesome experience for me, anyhow, to see all these young people there with such a passion for what they're doing. They're just absolutely mind-boggling for me. Let alone the work that we did. Everybody pulled together as a team. We got accomplished what we started to do. We got it finished right till the last bit. Carolyn was putting the sealer on as we all left, and she was still staying behind. The one thing that struck me is when we were up there helping serve the meal for these 150 or so Marshallese, and they're all filing through. They do this every week for them. Every week they put on the meals for them. And I'm glad that we were part of that. And these little kids that they can't see over top of the table, and we were helping serve these donuts and things to these little kids. And the one little kid that come up that just struck me, and he's not talking, and he's got his plate holding out. And I'm saying to him, well, can you just blink if you want a donut, or blink if you want something? So I'm holding something up, and he's blinking his eyes. And then I'm holding up something else, and he blinks his eyes, and he goes by with just a grin on his face. That's just awesome to see that.
Thanks, Harry. Okay, Barb?
Are you okay with the mic? The whole experience for me was wonderful, as everyone is saying, but how it started was I retired a few years ago from nursing, and I looked into volunteering with Mercy Ships, and it just didn't come together. Then Gary was started talking about, we were here on the Sunday that Gary was talking about volunteer work at YWAM in Kona. And I sat beside Harry that Sunday, and I thought, you know what, I think I'd like to do that. I didn't squeeze Harry's hand or look at him or nudge him. I did nothing. I just sat in the pew and thought, yeah, that sounds really good. And that Sunday, after the service, Harry and I went out to the lobby, to the foyer, and started talking to Gary. And Harry said, without a word to me, Harry said to Gary, Barb and I would like to do that. We'd like to volunteer in Kona. And I wish that we communicated that way in all things. Just saying, but obviously the hand of God was there for that experience, and it was lovely. So if you're thinking of it, have the conversation and do it. It's lovely.
Amen.
My highlight was before we left. Captain Ann had phoned me and asked if I would do some technical training with her crew, and I didn't know who they were, and I hadn't seen the new ship that they had just got. So we went out there, and Troy and Roy and I went over the ship and looked at all the problems and everything they had with it. And so every second day or so, I would got to meet they're called SUNS. It's a School of Navigation and Seamanship. And there's seven of them, four guys and three girls. And they've had all their Bible training, their discipleship training. So they're a very strong faith, and they know the word, but they not much life experience. And I say, when you're 1,000 miles out there at sea and it breaks down, you can't just look at each other. It's you can't phone a friend. It's they have to do what they can. And so what we did is every second day I would do like a classroom teaching and everything I could share with them. And then the other, every second day, we'd go out to the ship and we'd make little breakdowns or situations where they would have to work on it or fix it and get to know their own vessel. And so they were really eager to get to know everything they could about it and jump right in. And it was the really meaningful thing for me is to get to look in the faces of these seven people and get to know them. And these are the ones just so excited to carry the gospel out to the islands where people have never heard it before, but it's really well received, and they come back with all these stories and share with us what's all going on, and they're much braver than I, but they can't wait to go out there and give their lives and time and efforts to bring the gospel to the unreached islands, and they're willing to do it. And for me to get to know them is it just really means a lot to me, and I love that.
Thank you. So whatever your skill, right? You can help teach. You can, as people have been saying, just share however you can. So Troy, we kind of put you in a, well, you had a couple different things you want to share, so we'll let you do that.
Okay. There were three things that really, three, but it'll be really short. First one, just to mirror what he said about Silas. These kids live by faith, literally. It's just faith, and that's how they expect, based on faith. And so Silas was short $3,000. His buddy got up. What Gary didn't say is Loring Cunningham, if you guys don't know that gentleman, he's like Billy Graham. Like, he's sitting in the front row, and this guy got up in front of everybody. And he was probably expecting to get hauled off. And he put it out there for his friend Silas. He said, Silas is short. And he ran off and threw up. He was so upset, but he overcame his fear. He did what God put on his heart. He came up in front of thousands of people, and then he ran and threw up in the bathroom. He came back with a check for $3,000. Now, we don't know what happened there, but God supplied Silas's needs. And what a faith builder that is. So if any of you are low on faith, this is what you need to do. Just go on missions trip and your faith will get reignited. And then for me, the big thing was grace. God gave an incredible grace to me. And my team, I had Tom and Jesse, my nephew. We kind of worked around the back of the building. And like Gary said, you know, I was like, is it raining? And you look up, oh, it's not raining. And someone flushed the toilet, right? And so all these pipes were broken. And, you know, God, like my wife knows I am the, like, OCD at clean. And so for me to get in there and do this work, and the rubber gloves, by the way, they broke right away. So throw those away. But I got in there, and God gave me grace to do that job. And I couldn't have done that on my own strength. So that was a real faith builder for me. And then we find out that it was a real blessing to them just to do that. And they're like, oh, you did a great job. You're a good plumber. And I said, never been plumbing in my life. But God gave us what we needed to do that. So, and that's it.
Oh. That's why we called him Dr. Troy, the drain surgeon.
The drain surgeon. Okay. You guys. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone. Wonderful to share different perspectives. Amen. Well, we have just a few minutes. I just want to share a little bit before we finish here. We've been talking about getting out there, and really it's all about evangelism, isn't it? So I just have a few minutes. I want to share a little bit on evangelism today. So it's going to be a little bit of audience participation, okay? Be like Sunday school here. So you got to be bold, right? So let me ask you, I'm going to share basically the three M's of evangelism. The motive, why we do evangelism, why anybody wants to go share about Jesus. The message, what we have to share, and the method, right? There's different methods that you can do with that. So let me ask you, what is the first scripture that many of us learn? What's the very first scripture? John 3:60. Who said it first? You get a free coffee. Whoever said that first. That's at the back. John 3:16, right? Now, why do you think it is that we learn that first? Many, many of us. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons I think is because everything you need to know about evangelism is in that scripture. So, Lindsay, can you put that up there? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen? So let's look at that quickly here. We'll break it down a little bit for you. Why do we want to go and do evangelism? What's our motive, okay? Is it because Pastor said you got to go and share? Is it because you want to look like a spiritual giant? You know, oh, I share with everybody. Is it the Bible commanded? You know, lots, some good, some not so good reasons maybe, but what do you think is God's motive? Why did God want to care for us so much? What? Why did he come to us? If you look at that scripture, which part of that do you think was God's motive for evangelism? For God so loved. It's John Anthony, smart guy. So let's put that up. There it is. Love. You said that before the bold part came up, didn't you? Okay. So isn't that got to be what it is? Isn't that has to be our motive? Is that God's love, right? It's not our love for people. That's kind of like, how do you love people that you don't know? It's got to be God's love through us, right? But that has to be our motive. If you don't have that, you know, you'll burn out very quickly. So that's why before we went to the Marshall, to the Kona, we started to pray for the Marshallese people and prayed and prayed and prayed many weeks. So that when we got there, it was a whole lot easier to share and talk with them because it's almost like we knew them already. You start to get a burden when you pray and when you really ask for that love for people. All right? How about the Great Commission? Who knows the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world. Smart congregation. Go ye into all the world, right? That's the Great Commission. Tell me, what is the great or the greatest commandment? Love God and love your neighbor. So I submit to you that I don't think you can do one of those without the other. Okay? You can't go into all the world if you're not loving God and loving your neighbor, right? You can't do it. I've seen that happen. People get all fired up and they go out there, but they haven't really asked for that heart from God. And they just do a good work and they come back, well, I was okay, but they didn't really get the sense of it, right? So you can't go out without loving. And I'll tell you, I don't think you can say I'm doing the great commandment of loving God and loving my neighbor if you're not going. So you got to do both together for your Christian walk to be fired up and fruitful. So I think there's sort of three stages in the Christian walk, okay? There's one is where we come out of the world and we come to Christ. And then the second, we get all of this teaching and the promises of God and the authority. We get all that. And the third stage, though, is we have to go back into the world with Christ. So you can't just come out and then get more and more teaching, more and more teaching, and not do the others, the last stage, and going back with him and sharing with people. I'll finish with this motive part. There was a great sign I saw one time in a Polish church, just when the wall had come down. We were over there in Eastern Europe. I was in a Polish underground church. And there was a sign on the wall that I'll never forget. It says, it was not nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for you and me. It was not nails that held him. It was his love. And that just hit me somehow. You know, man, God, if I could have that kind of love, then I could go anywhere. I can go across the world. I can go across the street. I can talk to anybody. Okay, what about what do you think is the message? Lots of religions have lots of different messages, right? The Islam says, you know, you have to balance your good and your bad deeds. Hinduism has lots and lots of gods to pray to. Animism, you have to sacrifice animals to the spirits. Lots of different messages, right? But, you know, Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. I mean, we don't have to work for it, right? So what do you think is the key message in evangelism? What was God's message to us? I mean, you can say it all sorts of different ways, but what's the one Christian message up there? Sorry? Whoever believes. That's right. Very good. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that got to be the basic? We can say it lots of different ways, but it all comes down to that one thing. So you have to, what you sort of have to do, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about this, is you have to ask for that spirit of discernment or understanding, that wisdom, to really try to figure out what each person needs and how you can say that message to them. Because there's lots of different ways to say that, right? But if you ask for that discernment, and if you've prayed for them, you start to get to know them a little bit with the relation, then you can figure out exactly what they need. So, you know, here's an example from Jesus. There are lots of different ways to share the message, okay, that whosoever believes. But how you say it? What about when Jesus talked to the fishermen? What did he, Mark 1:19 has one. What did Jesus say? What was his message to them? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So they were fishermen. They understood that, right? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It wasn't time for the fathers or for the hired hands. I'm still trying to work that one out, but everybody has a different time. But those disciples, it was time for them to follow. How about the rich young man? If we go into Matthew 19, did Jesus say to the rich young man, follow me? No. What did he say? Give it all away. That's right. See, that was his priority, wasn't it? That was the rich young man's thing that he had to work through, was what's more important, Jesus or money. So that was the message to him. What about the woman at the well? There's Jesus. There she is at the sixth hour. It's hot. There's no one else there, right? She's been living with a man. Just Jesus there. All the disciples, 12 disciples have gone to get food. don't know why I took all 12 of them, but I think it's because he wanted that one-on-one, you know, attention, 100% with her. So was it follow me and I'll make you fisher of men? Was it sell everything? I'll drink from your cup. Because what did she need? She needed respect. She needed acceptance. So, you know, Jesus, of course, he knows everybody, but we have to learn what everybody needs, how they need to hear it. What about Nicodemus? He was an old guy. What did Jesus say to him? Yeah, you can be born again. I saw Pastor Dave wearing glasses the other day. I think he'd like that scripture these days more and more. Good news for old men. Yeah. So we'll move along here. What about the method? What about the last one? Do you think you guys can figure out what God's method was? He gave, eh? That's the last one there. I don't care what method you use in evangelism, it all takes giving. It takes giving of your time, your talent, your money, whatever. It takes sacrificial giving. And that was God's model, right? Is giving his best. And if we really want to do it, then we got to give our best. You know, that Richard Wurmbrand was a pastor in Romania, 18 years in jail for sharing his faith. You know, in the old days, there was the Iron Curtain, Communist Iron Curtain. And then there was the bamboo curtain in China. He said, those aren't the hardest curtains to break through with the gospel. The hardest curtain is the silk curtain of our own luxury zone, our own comfort zones. We have to break through that if we're really going to be able to share anything. So what holds us back? What holds you back from sharing with people, even here in town or going on a mission trip? Is it nervousness? Is it pride? Is it complacency? You know, Lord, save us from complacency, from being lukewarm. You know, what is it that holds us back? And you got to ask yourself that, right? I have to ask myself, too. Why can't I just share with every person out there in Penticton, right, at the right time? So there's lots of methods, lots of different methods. I'll finish right away here. There's mercy ministries. We can do that, right, with the Christmas hampers, the shoeboxes. We can send out scriptures. I know Brian Duncalf and the team, they send Bibles all the time. Friendship evangelism is the key. Okay, how many are saved through TV or tracks or whatever? Usually, they say 80% is from friendship, from someone that you know sharing with you. Okay, so friendship evangelism is huge. You know, Luke 9, Jesus sends out the disciples, the 12 of them, and what does he do after they get all this power, all this authority, and he sends them out? He said, just go to a home. Just go to an individual home, because it's about friendship, right, and developing that. He sends out the 72. If it was me, I'd be, you know, revival coming now, banners in the street. No, he said, just go to the homes, right? It's like our life groups. You know, Pastor Dave didn't pay me to say that. It's life groups. That's where it's at. So if you want to do evangelism, be as creative as you can. Prayer walking blocks each block of this city. The youth group's done that in Bethel before. Public reading of the word. We've gone up Munson Mountain and spoken the word out over the whole city. Our summer fun fairs. There's lots of creativity. You can get really wild. I used to do things on the ship. When we sailed by Cuba, when it was still communist, I put scriptures in bottles and tossed them overboard, hoped they would wash up on shore. I used to carry a 10-foot cross down Hollywood and Vine and around Vatican City. I used to, you know, jump out of a coffin in Piccadilly Circus in London. That was pretty wild. So who wants to be a witness for Christ? Everybody goes, yeah. But, you know, the Greek word for witness is martus, and that's where we get our word martyr from. So, yeah, who wants to be a martyr for Jesus, you know? He's more concerned how we're living, right, than how we're going to die. But let me just finish. I want to pray with you guys, just as we've talked about this. I want to challenge you, though, just before we finish. Pastor Bob, how many of you know Pastor Bob that was up here? He's a pastor from Foursquare. So God bless you, Bob. I learned this when we were on the layover in Tacoma. We're having our food. This waitress was bringing all our food, And then I was real spiritual. I said, well, let's pray for our food. And Bob said, well, you know, hang on. Maybe the waitress wants to pray us. Maybe she wants to pray. And I said, what? And kind of radical. But we said, okay, would you like to pray with us? I would love to, she said. And she bowed her head and prayed with us and said amen. At the end, said, and all the times that I've served here, all my years, no one's ever asked me to join in their grace. And it just touched her heart, right? I thought, you know what? Why didn't I ever think of that, right? So God bless you, Bob. So I want to challenge us. How many go out at least once a month after church? We go for lunch, right? Well, here we are. We're somewhere in town. And I've heard this terrible, or this reputation that, you know, a lot of servers don't want to work on Sunday after church because the Christians don't tip enough. I've heard that. So I said, let's change that. So I want to challenge you, okay? Someone in your group, whenever you go to a restaurant, someone be bold, all right? And say, hey, let's ask the waiter or waitress if they want to just join us in grace. And if they say yes, great. And just say a short blessing for them in your grace. If they don't, okay, they know you're Christian, but you know what? That girl got a huge tip at Tacoma. She got about $40, $50, $100. I don't know what she got, because we all just wanted to let her know that God loved her so much. So tip as well. But I challenge you to do that, okay? Just ask them if they'd like to pray, and you know what? You'll be amazed how many might say, fine. You know, just a minute, so it doesn't take a lot of their time, but just a quick prayer. Can we agree to try to do that? All right, let's finish. Let's pray. Just want to pray for you guys. Want to pray Isaiah 61 over all of us in the church. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your method, your model of evangelism, Lord, your motive. Lord, we need your love. Lord, we all say that. Lord, we can't do this on our own strength. We can't go out there. We need your love for people. So give us that, Lord, as we pray. We pray for the people in Penticton. We pray for those wherever around the world, that we would have the love for them. Lord, help us to give your message in the right way. Lord, everybody has different needs, emotional needs, physical needs, whatever it may be. But help us to be able to share your love, and that if they believe in you, Lord, then they will be helped, Lord. And Lord, whatever method we use, Lord, we got to give sacrificially. Help us just give of our time, our money, our talents, whatever it might be. Lord, we want to pray and accept this scripture from you today, Lord. We pray this in your name from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on you, each one of you in Bethel, because the Lord has anointed you to preach good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and a release from prisoners, from darkness for the prisoners. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.